Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, and if it's top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, and you're hearing the live broadcast, well, you can get in right now. We have an open line for you at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. We want to hear from you, our listeners. That's one of the primary reasons that we have this broadcast every day, so we can hear from you. So let's take advantage of it right now. 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Paul had this wonderful encouragement to all of us in his letter to the Philippians. I think it's an attitude that God wants to develop in each and every one of us. And it says this, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. And he's talking about the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Now, he's been raised to walk in the newness of life, just like you and I have been raised to walk in the newness of life. But there is a time in the future when we're going to get resurrected bodies.
Right.
And that's when this whole gospel is going to take hold of us, spirit, soul, and body. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be complete. We're already complete in Christ. There's nothing that he needs to add to us. But there's this body thing that's going to take place. So he says, I haven't yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So this was Paul's attitude. I read this verse and I look at it and said, that is the march of freedom. Mm-hmm. So we've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been released from the power of sin and death. The law of sin and death, as Paul said in Romans chapter 8, and we've been released from that by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we've been set free, and we've been set free to experience this freedom. Well, this particular verse is the attitude that is going to accompany our march of freedom as we press upward and onward to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is the march of freedom. Now, why aren't every single Christian, why isn't every single Christian making that march with boldness and with abandonment in their hearts and souls? Well, there's lots of reasons. Here's three reasons, three things that hold us back from truly experiencing the freedom that we have in Christ. The three things that keep our minds looking on things of the past instead of forgetting it and pressing on toward the future. So the first is we're fearful of the unknown. So this freedom that we have in Christ is unknown. It's not familiar territory to us. We've been used to living under the control of sin and death. We've been used to following the ways of this world. We have been used to fulfilling the desires of the flesh. That was what life was for us before we met Jesus. So now we've broken free from that jail cell, and now we're in the wide open. And every step we take in this wide open land of freedom that we experience through faith in Jesus Christ is a step into the unfamiliar. Now, the only reason that we can be courageous enough to take that step is because we know the one who set us free.
Right.
His name is Jesus. But so many people keep their eyes on the past because they're fearful of the unknown, what's up ahead for them. They're afraid that God may call them to a mission field. They're afraid that they may have to give up their wealth. They're afraid they may have to give up their business or whatever it might be. They're afraid of the future. So let me ask you, are you fearful of the unknown? Is that an obstacle that's keeping you from pressing on to the high calling that is yours in Christ Jesus? Is that an obstacle that is keeping you from boldly marching this path of freedom that is yours in Christ? The second obstacle is this: are you concerned about what other people will think of you? Now, all of us have this concern to one degree or another. When you read the New Testament, fear of others' opinions, is a huge topic. Mm-hmm. Peter decided to stop eating with the Gentiles, his brothers in Christ, who were from a Gentile background, for fear of the Jewish leaders. When they showed up on the scene, man, this fear gripped Peter, and he said, what in the world are these people going to think of me? And so he left the table that he was with those Gentiles. He separated himself so that he could get the pats on the back from the Jewish leaders. Now, are there people out there that you hold their opinions in such high regard that their opinions are keeping you from pressing on to the upward call that is yours in Christ Jesus, from marching down this road of freedom that you have been called to march? Is fear of others or the opinion of others keeping you back, keeping you looking backwards instead of forward? The third thing, do you think the world has something better to offer? As the people of Israel got into that desert and they started looking around and there wasn't meat to eat, they couldn't find adequate water, there wasn't bread, they just started complaining and looking back at all that Egypt had provided for them while they were slaves there. They forgot that they were slaves. They were thinking about all the good stuff. And so we start to think, hey, this Christian life isn't all that it's cut out to be. I've lost some friends. I'm not, experiencing some of the financial blessings or whatever it might be that I was when I was lost. I'm suffering for my faith here. And so when that happens, we start to feel sorry for ourselves, and we start taking a look at the things of this world, and we're wondering, is there something better the world has to offer? The phrase today is FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
So many people have that. They've been diagnosed with FOMO. They're fearful of missing out that something the world may have to offer. Well, here's the truth. It will never compare to what you have in Christ.
Yeah.
March on, my friends. You've been set free. Make this march of freedom just a joyous occasion as you keep your eyes on Christ, the one who loved you and gave himself for you.
Great admonition, my friend. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to share this this time with you. 844-322-2742. That's the number to call in the U.S. and Canada. If you're hearing the live broadcast at 7 past 3 p.m. Central Time, it is the live broadcast, and we have an open line for you, as I said, at 844-322-2742. And to say thanks for your generous gift this month, we want to send you our series, Living Life on the Edge. Now, this series maps out the biblical way to handle the temptations of the world and the desires of the flesh. And we have this gift for you, our supporters, and tomorrow midnight is the deadline for this particular offer. It contains the audio CD, the video DVD, and the booklet that we were talking about, and it's the complete package, and we'll send you a copy when you make your donation to support Basic Gospel before midnight tomorrow night. So click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Living Life on the Edge. Again, donate before midnight tomorrow night at basicgospel.net. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and talk to Renee, who's listening to us on WMUZ today. Hi, Renee.
Hey,
welcome.
Renee.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You are so welcome.
Thank you. I have a question about homosexuality. So I have a very dear friend who is also Christian. He's a very strong belief in God, a really nice, great person. He is so born a male, but he's transgender, and he wants to change his sexual orientation with hormones, hair removal, breast augmentation, and operations. So I was just wondering, where would that stand with God as far as, you know, someone being male but feeling female or vice versa, and wanting to make their physical body match how they feel, and actually going through with it and changing their body structure? to become the other sex.
Well, Renee, we're certainly seeing a lot of that in the world today,
yeah.
and certainly it's a issue that is front and center. So just about every story that is happening, it's making headline news. So we seem to be being confronted by it day in and day out. So his desire is to match his body to his feelings. I think the real way to do it is to match your feelings to your body. Why? Because when you came into this world, you were either male or female. Those are the only two options. That's how God created mankind. He said he created them male and female. So if somebody is confused, it would be best to deal with the confusion instead of letting the confusion kind of drive the decisions that a person is going to make. So your friend has gender confusion and he has these feelings, and it's not to disregard those feelings, but he's allowing those feelings to become the driver in his decision instead of truth. And so the encouragement is to say, you know, from your vantage point would be to say, you know, why do you want to go through all of that when, you know, study after study and, you know, story after story has said that's a negative thing to do. That doesn't end up the way you think it's going to end up. So why not say, look at truth. Here's what your biology says. You're a male. Let's figure out how you can get your mind and your emotions to line up with what is true. And I think that's how you can help out in that situation.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's very helpful. I personally think he's a great guy, but he doesn't feel like a guy. He feels like a girl. So,
well,
try to be.
Go ahead.
I just try to be supportive of, you know, what he's thinking of doing. I mean, I can't change his mind at all. I don't want to befriend him for it. And it's just a process. It's going to be a long process, like years of process.
Right.
And it seems very drastic to me.
It is drastic.
You know, like
it
said,
is.
I mean, it's drastic surgery.
It is drastic, and the psychological scars that he is going to endure as a result will be tremendous. I mean, there's story after story. There's study after study. That says this isn't the direction to go, that it causes more problem. It compounds issues instead of solving issues. So he thinks if he can be the sex that he feels like he is, then he's going to live out his full human potential. And he's going to find out that that's not the case. And the reason why is the only way that we can experience humanity as it's supposed to be experienced is through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. That was lost in the garden. Sin and death entered into this world. And so all of us come into this world dead spiritually. We're separated from the life of Christ. We're separated from life. That's what the Bible says. Time and time again, we're dead, and Jesus Christ came to offer us life. Now, many people don't turn to Christ because they're fearful of the judgment that might come back toward them as a result of their sins, as a result of their own thinking. And that's where the cross of Jesus Christ has to be lifted up, because there on the cross, Jesus bore the sins of the world. He judged the sins of the world. He condemned the sins of the world. He offered himself to God the Father, and that sacrifice was sufficient. So the barrier between God and man has been removed. So God is no longer counting men's sins against them. He has reconciled the world unto himself through Christ. He's given us that ministry of reconciliation, that God is no longer counting sins against them. So the issue for your friend isn't those gender confusion things and trying to get those settled. The real issue for your friend is that he's dead spiritually and he needs life. That's the issue. And Jesus is never going to be okay with spiritual death for somebody. He's never going to say, oh, yeah, you should have been a girl, and you know, I'm going to pat you on the back and help move you in that direction. No, because there's an underlying problem that's even greater, and that's the fact that your friend is dead spiritually. And Jesus came to offer life. That's what he would be offering your friend right now, life, his very life. And once Jesus Christ... Go ahead.
Like I said, yeah, like as he was born.
Yes.
Meant to be.
Yes. And as he receives Christ's life, then now he has truth living inside of him, and that truth can start renewing the mind. And so...
Yeah. So what I was thinking of was, so, you know, someone want to change their gender. So if they change their gender, do they then move on to like a new life and be forgiven for that as a sin? Or like you, it kind of seems like what you're saying is you mess up your own creation. You know, you're created in the image of God, and then you mess it up because you change it to something it wasn't supposed to be. Do you lose your salvation for that, or do you, because he is an adamant Christian, and I wonder how he figures that that's okay to do that.
Well, that's...
To change his orientation.
Yeah, that's the issue, to say,
yeah.
I'm a avid Christian, and yet I'm denying truth. Those two don't fit. So what you see is the thing that he wants to move forward with the gender change, that's a rebellion against God. That saying to God, I don't believe that you made me a male. I want to be a female. So there's a rebellion against the truth. So he needs to get back to truth. Truth is the issue there, Renee.
Renee, do you think you could get him to call in on the broadcast? Do you think you could maybe get him to call in on the broadcast tomorrow or Thursday? We would love to speak with him.
He might do that. The thing that's sad for him is he is persecuted by people, a lot of people.
Well, he won't find that here. You know? He won't find that here at all.
No, we'd have good conversation.
I don't expect it, but he might expect, you know, he may expect it, but I can ask him. I can see. It would be nice to get his perspective and, you know, find out what he's thinking, and it may mimic a lot of the way other people are thinking that want to go through a gender change.
Yes.
As well, that are believers in Jesus and God and the story of the Old Testament and the story of Christ, you know? So
yeah.
I'll see if I can.
Well, the story of Christ is
so
ultimately
much.
About life, real life, genuine life that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And we would love to talk with him about that story. And Renee, thank you for the question today.
Yeah,
it's an important question, and we're so grateful we could have this conversation. And really, thank you for your heart of love for your friend.
Yeah.
That's encouraging and inspirational. So thank you, Renee.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking my call and discussing the matter. I appreciate it.
Well, let me do this.
God bless you.
I want to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And sometimes we're confused about Christianity because we've added layer upon layer upon layer to the story. And this is a book that just lays it out there in its simple and pure form. So I would love to send that to you, and we'll do that free of charge. So you hold the line, Renee, and we'll get that into your hands, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thanks for your call.
And, of course, for those of you who don't have a copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, we would like for you to get one, and you could do that simply by going to our website, and you'll find it at basicgospel.net. You know, some years ago, I remember a listener calling into the broadcast. He said every day he crawled out of bed, went to work, worked all day, drove home, and by the end of the day, he was so beaten up and knocked down and burned out that he felt like doing nothing but falling in bed and crying. Well, friends, you may not be that far down the line, but if you feel like you're anywhere along that path, let me tell you, you don't have to fall any further. There is a better way than that daily grind. And you'll learn about it when you join Bob Christopher in Basic Gospel for the Simply Grace Conference, a live seminar designed to help you cast your cares upon Jesus. Why? Because he cares for you. And that daily struggle is not what he has designed for you. At the Simply Grace Conference, you're going to learn about your identity and the life that you can enjoy and thrive in every day. No matter where you live in the U.S., Canada, elsewhere in the world, we would love for you to be a part of it. That's coming up, as I said, Friday evening and Saturday, September 6th and 7th. All the information is online at basicgospel.net/events. Again, that's basicgospel.net/events for information on the September Simply Grace Conference.
Well, thanks, Bob. Had this great comment from one of our viewers in Uganda. Ivan writes to us and says, I'm in Uganda, and thank God the message of the gospel knows no boundaries. And I love that statement because the gospel message is not bound by boundaries that we have in this world. It just goes anywhere and everywhere. God wants to take it through his Spirit, and thank God he's doing that. And so he says, I'm so glad it knows no boundaries, freedom in Christ. All I can say is that I'm blessed abundantly to hear from Basic Gospel, amazing revelations. I've been set free. Ivan, thanks so much for joining us today through Facebook, and we're glad to meet you, my friend, and we're glad to take this march of freedom in Christ with you each and every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob, I think we have time to listen to this call right here.
Hey, this is Ray from Pittsburgh. I have a question. In 2 Corinthians 12, I believe it's verse 2, but I'm not quite sure, it talks about the third heaven. I was hoping you might shed some light on that and what the third heaven is. That's it. Hope you guys have a blessed day. Thank you.
Well, Ray, thanks. Thanks for that question. You know, we think, are there degrees in heaven, you know, or some going to go and just be in the outer aspects of heaven, and then those who are really good are going to be, you know, in the higher elevations. But that's not what the Bible teaches. No. What we see in the Word of God is simply this. We have, you know, our immediate atmosphere, the air we breathe, that's called the heaven. We have outer space. That's where the sun, moon, and stars reside. That would be known as the second heaven. And then the third heaven is simply where God is. It's his dwelling place. Yeah. So when it says Paul went up by the Spirit into the third heaven, that's what he's talking about, into the very place where God dwells. So it's a pretty simple answer. Mm-hmm. That's what the third heaven is. There's no degrees of heaven. We're all going to go be with the Lord when we're absent from the body and present with him.
Yes, indeed. Ray, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Bob, you've shown really nice light on that. That's good. Friends, keep in mind that Basic Gospel is listener supported, and with your gift by midnight tomorrow night, you're going to receive the audio, the video, and the booklet of our series, Living Life on the Edge. You get all three. So click donate at basicgospel.net by midnight tomorrow night and make your gift, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of it. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net for your audio, video, and booklet entitled Living Life on the Edge. And if you have a question before our next broadcast, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. Or you can conversely email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Again, that's bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for the ministry team, and we would love to have you join us again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. And in the meantime, have a great evening in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.